This is Iconic.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things Gumshoe. This week, we are continuing with the second part of our review of the Dracula dossier for Knight's Black Agents.
All right, so the next third of the book is really focused. If we focused on the people for the first third of the book, the second third of the book is all of the places and things and nodes that build out the rest of the campaign. So again, if you just follow the conspiramids and the pyramids at the front of the book, they actually give you places to put your own material in as you're working your way up them. But then this is what gets referenced throughout. So the campaign map, if there is one, is really the four pyramids at the front of the book. So the nodes are the various organizations tied to the campaign, starting with the organizations that were either in or grew out of the novel and beyond. And there's 29 of them. Again, 29 detailed organizations. Becca, do you want to kind of walk us through this section?
Yeah, these are the corporations, the banks, the government agencies, etc., that could be various nodes. The information contained on each of these nodes is great because it's broken down into different entries, like the face of the organization, what they are showing to the world, versus then whether they are a component of Edom or if they are somehow connected to Dracula, and then how they connect to other nodes. It's great for then you don't have to do any extra research on this. And like, for example, you know, they have Axel Logistics, an international shipping company. You bring up that name enough times and your players know, okay, we got to go hit that warehouse. Mm-hmm. And then you go, well, what's there? And they give you, one, two, three, four, five, six different suspicious cargoes. And so, yeah, it just in one node, you have a whole range of things that can possibly be what your agents are going to be looking into. And then I should also say this, and I don't know that we really touched on it a lot, but in the director's handbook here, at the end of each person and each node and each location, they have a reference to the dossier, the page that it's on. So you can flip through pages within the director's handbook itself. We talked about how it's referenced, and then it also tells you exactly where you're going to find a reference to it within the dossier for your agents or yourself.
When you say the dossier, you're also talking about the Dracula Unredacted.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And Becca, thank you for bringing that point up. It's one that I want to keep hitting because they did a brilliant job making this campaign very usable for the director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like just a list of notes from Cushing or Hopkins. They went through, and doesn't even like a page number for the book. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't even know which one this is attached to, but at the end it has dossier reference, Cushing 11, Hopkins 56, Cushing 214. Those are the numbers of their entries. So you're flipping through the book to find, and again, if you get your own book, you can do different colors, blue ink, black ink, red ink. You know, just picture if you were referencing out a book in college and you had your underline and notes on the side. That's what these guys did, 1894 and 1940 and 1977. So there's different dates and different notes that people put in there. So you can kind of throw that out as they're doing stuff instead of just handing them here's Cushing's notes. It's flip through the book and find it. Brilliant.
Now, I will say I went through the Edom files and the Edom field manual that has a ton of additional briefing packets to hand out. If you want to do this adventure, it is done right. There's a ton of material to be able to hand to your players. And if you have players like I do where they like to take the initiative, this is a campaign for you. All right. So there's still more. And I feel like at this point, the book has paid for itself with just the information it has chalked in. We've talked a lot about how in Knights Black Agents, we've been amazed at how much information is put in into such a tight amount of writing. But now there are 62 locations that you can use again for any Knights Black Agents game, but also for the Dracula campaign. Mark, you want to give us an overview of the locations, kind of what information GM will find by location?
Yeah, so like Jim said, 62 locations. There's 48 specific and 14 generic, because, you know, we've got people, we've got some nodes, some organizations that are globally spanned. Now here's some locations to put that branch of the bank or put that local office of the shipping agency that's getting these odd shipments of dirt from Romania. And why are they importing dirt from Romania? Again, it kind of gives you some idea. Again, they don't lay it out hard. It's always advice on how to do something, or here's our suggestion. But if you don't like it, and many, many books over the years that I've had and used say, here's our take on it, but feel free to change it. What I love about this, and I know it sounds like a bromance, they go, here's what we suggest, but if you don't like it, here's five more pages of other ways you can run it. Not just go ahead and change it. They give you examples of how to change it. That just blows your mind. They're like, yeah, here's what we did, but we can also do this and this and this, and it does that. And one of the things they do is warm and cool as far as how it's connected. Warm would be ties to the campaign, and then cool initial reactions. So you can specify these locations and how they're going to tie into your campaign. They all link together, but they always give you so many options, and it is global. It's the UK to Romania to Argentina, China, all over the place. So you don't have to be just stuck in Britain or Romania. It has you go all over. Let your players explore and take the lead. It gives you all the stuff you need to go, oh, you want to go there? Flip, flip. Here you go. I've already got people. I've got nodes. I've got locations set for that area. And whether or not it's going to be cool or warm as far as your campaign.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much they pack into that.
With that.
It's about 100 pages of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With all of that, Mark, they also have the hopeful versus sinister beats. So that not only do they have everything that you have already described for each location, but then they also let you know how to play this place as somewhere safe or somewhere dangerous. And I even was just in the read through, like what struck to me was, you know, you're in London, and if it's hopeful, it's, hey, look at how far humanity has progressed. Look at all the arts and the great things humanity has done. And when it was sinister, it's, hey, have you ever noticed how many cameras that there are? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, because that's exactly what you would see if you went to those locations. And it makes it so real and visceral then for players, because you don't even have to add anything else beyond you notice there's a camera following you. And as soon as you duck out of the way, you see another one. And they just know that the entire time they're here, they're being watched. And it creates that sense of urgency and just danger lurking everywhere.
And again, they have dossier references going back to the unredacted.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a key thing, is to have that. And if you're really going for minimalist, PDF works, but really having an old book that you could beat up and flip through and dog ear.
Yeah.
Would be fantastic. I definitely, this is a long campaign. Great stuff in it that you can shove into if you want a shorter campaign. Bing, bing, bing. And guess what? There's advice on that. If you wanted this quick six act, poof, done, right to Dracula. They give advice on that too.
And if you want to make it even longer, you know, check out the Edom files. I mean, this would take several years to run through everything that they have given to you for this. The last of kind of the what else is in this book is the objects. And there are 27 objects to hand out or use against and then hand out to your players in this campaign. And they're great. But I'm going to let we'll start with Beth and Mark. What were your favorite parts of the objects?
There's so many good things in here that you can use.
I like the fact that It will let this book tells you that if this object is a fake or a real example of whatever you are looking at. One of the things are cameos of Dracula, and cameo isn't like it'd be because, you know, that whole can't take pictures of Dracula thing.
Oh, really?
So we're talking about little painted or drawn pictures in keepsakes.
Yeah.
You sound like a vampirologist there.
That's right.
But yeah, like even that, and the idea of having several of these cameos exist in your campaign, and whether or not they all look exactly alike or they look different, and you're or do they look different? So then your agents have to figure out why they are different and what it all means. And oh, there are hints as long as you have the right thing. I thought that was a cool one because I just thought that could bring in a lot of kind of hidden push forward, so that if your agents end up getting stuck, you can encourage them to, well, go over what you have. Because you have the clues, you just have to put it together.
Yeah, I like that it has the major, minor, and fraudulent. So is it a major artifact, minor artifact? You want to make it a major or minor thing? Or is it, no, somebody says it was, but when you really looked into it, again, using your knowledge is, no, this is not the original knife that attacked Dracula.
Right, but you could also use a fraudulent object to put them on the trail of a correct object, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I like that because, like, for example, I love Elizabeth Bathroy's journals. If it's a major item, it's worth a 7-point stability test, but afterwards you get to ask the director 3 questions about Bathroy's actual nature, her connection to Dracula, and you get to impermanently increase some of your ratings as a major item. The minor item does something different.
You didn't add that they may develop schizophrenia or multiple personalities from reading these texts as well.
No, I did. I didn't mention that on purpose.
And yet, there's always the downside to these really cool bumps in your stats.
Right. Well, the last major section of this book takes us into some what I will call GM advice. It actually gives you a couple of spines, which is essentially sort of their very slimmed down adventure ideas. It gives you 4 possible endings to kind of be guiding your players towards. So let's talk about those to start with. So it gives you an initial opening spine, right? Like, hey, what's going on here?
They give you the hook, the curtain, the wake up. Reveals, blowbacks, twists. And again, these are just examples if you're really just starting out. And like we talked about, the spine is kind of the basis for your whole body. So use this as the main kind of the spine, as it's a great term, to flesh out your campaign. But it gives you all the stuff, the hooks to get you going, curtains where they check out, the hook, wake up where something happens. And then there's different things you can throw into options. Stall and blowbacks and stuff. Then there's the final reveal and then final confrontation of it. And they give you three various spines, completely different. They're not just various of the same spine, different spines in different areas, but they're good examples to help new directors go, well, how do I do this? Here's an example of one that you can start in London and go with it.
And the 3 spines are sort of connected, right? And the first spine gets your players the unredacted file. The second spine, if you choose to use it, links something from the file to an immediate threat to the heroes. And the third one is sort of similar. It kind of goes off in a wild direction. Would you guys use these to start the campaign? Like, what do you think is the best part of this spine section? And it's very slim. It's probably the smallest chapter in the book.
I think I would definitely at least start with spine 1, London Heat, just to get them started and see where they go. And especially in something like this, that's just so open that there is no linear. Yeah, they'll find the clues and go there. They're not. They're going to go all over. But you're prepared with this tome to handle it. So I'd start with spine 1 just to get them going. Let's see where they go and continue on. Maybe use the other ones as if it slows down or they get lost, start the next spine to get them going, throw another hook to get them going in a different direction. Because sometimes, you know, even in this, players can kind of get stuck on what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Throw in a car chase, get them stirred up.
I would definitely use the London one to get started because I feel like it's a great way to really showcase how Knights Black Agents works on that. When we talked about starting this game and starting in the middle of the action, the way this spine starts, you are in the action, it happens, and then it becomes, okay, what do you do now? And they have to act or they're going to lose everything.
Sort of rounding out the book is the capstones, which are four possible endings to the campaign. And Becca, they're not even really that scripted, are they?
No, they're not. They kind of let you, if you didn't know what your big payoff ending was, here's an option. There's a bunch of different ways that you can get to each of these capstones. There is foreshadowing, indicators that show up on levels 4 and 3 of the Conspiramid, and like kind of how to get there. So like if you got started and you are going along and then you suddenly wake up one night and you realize, didn't really think about how this was supposed to end. Here are four options. Pick which one you like and modify it in various ways to your own ends. And they throw in some more NPCs.
That's
they
true.
Throw in some more locations. Again, tell you how to use the various skills for players to get there. It's great in like if you got going and realized like your players are going in a different direction than what you had in mind. Cool. You can use one of these, or you can maybe merge a couple and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And then it wouldn't be Gumshoe if they didn't give you even more options, because here at the end, they're like, maybe you don't like Dracula. And they go back to some of the framework ideas. Now, one is one we've talked about, this idea of generational play. But there's one called the Abhorrent Truth, where Dracula is actually a manifestation of the mythos. And it gives you some advice on how to take the Dracula dossier and run it in Trail of Cthulhu, or run it in Knights Black Agents, but have Dracathulu, Draca Hotep, like just a ton of different things. And then the one that if your son Christopher was playing in, I feel like I would have to play They Saved Hitler's Blood, which is a pulp version of this game that takes the dials even further into the wild action and then puts Nazis behind all of it. Obviously, they have a base in Argentina and in the Antarctic. I thought, the moon. At the end of it, with everything that was in this campaign, those last three framework shifts basically gave me a ton more ideas on what I would want to do with this campaign.
And then Bucharest.
Yeah, then they give you, like they did in the core rulebook, they give you an overview of Bucharest, a very high level overview of the city, because Bucharest is in Romania and it's very close to Transylvanian mountains and Transylvania. I've been to Bucharest. It's a lovely city. It's awesome to have all of this information sort of rounding it out at your fingertips.
So you've been to Bucharest.
I have been to. I've actually been to Transylvania.
Is that why you're digging in your basement?
That's right.
Yeah.
And also why I have this lovely sun-kissed complexion. So, obviously, we liked this campaign. We were talking about it in chat all week. We were very excited about doing this. I think it's safe to say we would all run or play in it. If you were trying to sell someone on the Dracula dossier or sell your players on this, how would you pitch it to them? What is exciting about this campaign for you guys?
As a director, it just gives me so much info to jump back two steps to Capstone. I would take one of their suggestions and pick that first and just see how the players get there. And I can help guide and nudge to get to that Capstone. Boom. Because it doesn't matter how they get there, as long as they get to that aspect of it. It's even if you're new and you're like, well, it's new to the group. We've talked about playing this. I think it's neat. My players are like, well, okay, let's give it a try. I would use this as some resource for some other adventures to get them really hooked and then get them on the path to this. I wouldn't I think a lot of players too would be daunted. It was like, hey, I've got this, you know, 26-month campaign that's going to take us. People are like, I would use this as a resource to get them hooked on the system and that world. And then before you know it, it's been 26 months and they're driving the stake into Dracula to stop him. And they didn't even know it.
What about you, Becca? How would you sell this?
I would probably talk to them about the fact that, like, I got a new game system I'd like to try out. You guys are all like secret agents. Everybody wants to be a secret agent. Everybody wants to have a really cool skill set. Everybody wants to be able to see themselves in a Jason Bourne, Mission Impossible, Alias, Leverage, any of those shows and movies where they are the coolest person ever. And then let them know that this is going to be probably, like, there might be some supernatural elements to it, and like kind of slowly feed them into the Dracula idea, so that when they go, wait a second, is Dracula real? You know, that's when they get a phone call from Hopkins and the dossier arrives. So yeah, like, I mean, I definitely would start, to get a group into this, I would like to kind of ease into vampires for anyone's modest, like, sensibilities, but more of a, hey, this is a mystery that has to do with the supernatural, so I'm not going to tell you, oh yes, Dracula is real. His blood is on, all right, his blood and Hitler's blood and everybody else's blood is now on the moon, right? Like, I want that to come up in something that they find, because that would be such a hook as a player. I would be like, wait, what? Now I'm in this. We have to figure this out now.
That brings us to the end of our two-part review of the Dracula dossier. We will be back next time with the first part of our Knights Black Agents adventure that we're going to do a playthrough in. So if you've played through the Dracula dossier, leave a comment on the website. Let us know what your thoughts are. We'd love to chat with you about it. In 2 weeks, we'll be back with the first part of our actual play of Knights Black Agents. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay gaming. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
You've been listening to the Iconic Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and more information about the show. Thanks for listening.